If you don't believe that there is white privilege, please don't teach. If you don't believe that Black Lives Matter, please don't teach. If you don't believe in systemic racism and how it negatively impacts our students of color and don't want to help dismantle those systems, please don't teach.
If you don't understand that morbid obesity is a cofactor in leading to COVID deaths, please don't teach. If you don't understand that being overweight was 50.7% of hospitalizations due to COVID, please don't teach. If you don't understand that being morbidly obese is a bad example to our children, please go away and do not teach our kids. Please do not teach. I could have worked on that one a little bit better, Savannah.
Maybe so.
That was rough. I didn't.
Hey, you know, it was a rough cut. It was a freestyle, and it was still good.
Rappers ain't got nothing on me, guys. Today, we're going to be talking about something very important, and we're not talking about morbid obesity, which is our third favorite subject. We're going to be talking about one of our top 10, at least, which is the anti-racism movement. The anti-racism movement being led by people like 365 Diversity, if you check this out, who make sure that they let us know that they are trying to reduce the power of majorities, excuses, and increase measurable and lasting inclusion. Everything that I know that you guys watching and listening right now really desire, including the hashtag anti-racism and justice in the bio. And of course, we might ask ourselves, oh God of heaven and earth, 365 Diversity, that's always 24/7 helping us overcome our qualms and our woes. As a white person, and as you, as a POC, please tell me, oh master, how I can fight racism. Well, as we quickly find out, we can fight racism with my favorite deterrent, more racism. It's like fighting fire with fire, but worse and more destructive socially, exactly what the left likes to do. Of course, 365 Diversity brought up and said that they fight diversity by just blocking white people because, which I have to agree, and Savannah's on this.
Yeah, definitely. I'm on top. Yeah.
Why?
I agree.
Do you agree? There's nothing white people can say and do that is creative, profound, and I don't know where they got this word in there, and intimidating. This person has just totally said, how do we cure race relations? Let's just get rid of the race we don't like. Reminds me of some guy back in like the 1930s and 40s had a similar idea that was like, we don't like these people. Let's get rid of them, and tried in a final solution and didn't really succeed. I don't know. I kind of get those vibes. You get those vibes, Savannah?
Maybe a little bit. But, you know, if we try to cite history as an example of why we shouldn't be doing things in the present, that is the easiest way to get canceled. So
no, it actually is true.
Yeah.
And you know, I came to a conclusion the other day about the anti-racism movement that we're going to be talking about today and how it is connected to the George Floyd case, which we're going to get to in detail. It's just this simple conclusion. And I don't know if you agree with me on this, but as a white man, I'm going to just interject myself into the social conversation and blatantly say that anti-racism just means that you hate white people. And I think I'm getting tired of this today, guys, because what I'm going to do is to expose how we are living in a society based off of fear and prejudice and how we are not mending our relationships with each other, but instead we are allowing these things to creep into our justice system. And in fact, they say no justice, no peace. We're going to find out they don't want justice. They want revenge. Revenge on the straight people, revenge on the white people, revenge on the Christians. They are coming for us. And while I tried to use my C-minus humor, there's not much to laugh about today. And on that note, welcome back to Slightly Offensive, the best worst show on Blaze TV, where we always use confetti of color. It is 8K graphics. Don't say it's colored confetti, because that's so 2009. This is 2021. YouTube is censoring people. Bill Gates is a doctor. And if you don't get a vaccine, you're anti-science. And also, men can be women, women can be men. My name is Elijah Schaefer. I am your top 17 host. I would hope there's not a lot of good people on YouTube, so if I don't even make it there, then I'm really doing something wrong. Before we jump into today's show, I want to give a huge shout out to Scoremaster. Guys, a lot of you guys have a problem. It's pretty simple. Your credit score sucks. And you're like, well, how do I repair it? Because it usually takes a long time. Well, I have something awesome for you, and it's not as difficult as rocket science. It's actually credit science, and it's called Scoremaster, and it helps you get your points up fast. I'm talking about extremely fast. In fact, the average Scoremaster user, when using scoremaster.com/offense, gets their score up 61 points in 20 days or less. Now, I'm telling you that this Science can help you to save up to $100,000 on your home loan. You can save thousands on your auto loan. If you're like me, I even had to refinance my student loans because I was smart, like these anti-racism people. And I was like, hey, I'm going to go do something crazy and I'm going to go get into $100,000 worth of debt. Well, I need my credit score up. So I'm going to tell you, if you use scoremaster.com/offense, you can save a fortune before you apply for that loan or that credit card or even refinance your home or car. Scoremaster is even great for mortgage brokers who need an edge on and love getting their clients better deals. Now, Scoremaster is great for everyone. Now, it even shows you the score consequences if you spend too much, or even if there's things that happen like identity theft, which is common. No one else does what they do. You can enroll in minutes and you can find out how many points you can raise your score. Go to scoremaster.com/offense. That's scoremaster.com/offense to raise your score today. So I want to talk about the anti-racism movement. Let's get into this, guys. So a lot of you have been asking me questions, really genuinely, like, how do I become an anti-racist? I don't hate white people yet, but I want to. And if you're like me and you want to get into this movement, you'd want to know, how do I become anti-racist? Now, there was a moment in time where being anti-racist meant just that you were against the discrimination of people based off of the ethnicity or the skin color in which they were born, which is what I learned too. But no, that's not good enough. I'm going to find out if you're a bigot today. Get ready, ladies and gentlemen. Savannah, you're on this too. You're going to find out if you're a bigot. We always have this terrible SJW art, but it says here from NPR, publicly funded journalism, by the way, it says taxpayer-funded journalism.
Okay, so what are we funding then? Show us. What are we funding today?
Well, we're funding to find out whether you are a bad person or not.
Oh, I love that. You know, sometimes just in the middle of the week, I'm like, I don't feel like I've been hating myself enough. Let me go to NPR and see where I'm at.
I'm the white person. It's my job to hate myself.
Perfect.
And here's what you're saying. They said, when the topic of racism comes up, I often think of a billboard in the small town of Harrison, Arkansas.
So true.
Me too. Mm-hmm. Everyone does.
Yeah.
It was a sign promoting a white supremacist radio station called White Pride Radio. As if like everybody lives in Arkansas, like 19 people, that is.
Especially Harrison, Arkansas. Like, honestly, when I wake up and I think of white supremacy, that's the first town that I think of.
Exactly.
This is not the first time I've ever heard of this town in my life.
Right. And so Harrison, the sign's message emblazoned next to the picture of a cute looking white girl with a cute looking dog. Very detailed writer.
Dog.
It has no other adjective. Quote, it's not racist to heart your people. Now, my takeaway is even white supremacists don't want to be called racist, which might explain why for people dedicated to fighting racism, simply saying you're not racist doesn't feel like quite enough. To effectively defeat systemic racism, which you have to assume exists and it doesn't, race, which is racism embedded as normal practice in institutions like education and law enforcement, you've got to be continually working towards equality for all races, striving to undo racism in your mind, your personal environment, and the wider world. In other words, you've got to be anti-racist. So what we've done is we've now defined anti-racism is no longer just in society being against people who are racist. It means that you have to, in conjunction with radical left-wing agendas, deconstruct all of Western civilization, including education and the economy, and you have to actively work with organizations and training programs to rebuild this country to be considered against racism. This is the brain control. This is the mind control of the people pushing this. Now, if I want to remind you how these people look, this is somebody else who has the anti-racism hashtag. They always look like this. They always look like they enjoy COVID anal swabs a little too much. Just a little too much. These are the kind of people who voluntarily are like, China's offering anal swabs to get in from COVID. Two tickets to China, please. Beijing
sign
on my radar.
Up.
Sayonara, bonjour. That's probably what his dog's name is. Sayonara, bonjour. I got to get me an anal swab. And you know what? It's a free country. Not China, but here. You want to stick stuff up your butt? Go ahead. Do it. But hey, some people enjoy it more than others. And these are the people that are against anti-racism, which is why I felt like we need to get into this and talk about the fact of why we're pushing the anti-racism movement. The anti-racism movement is not about helping black people become equal. It is about creating a society where people no longer care about logic or reason or understanding, but they care about what's visual. Why? So that you can manipulate culture and do things that are destructive to the nation. But as long as things look good, then they're allowed. Like this. It's all about optics, baby. President Biden, or as they say, or as Big Tech says, President Biden, but we know, hell, we know what actually happened last year. We're very aware that President Biden is the most serious president in history and did not use any sort of questionable means to get there. And we know he's super, super legitimate. So legitimate, he hasn't held a State of a Union. He has not held a press conference in 50 days. He does not take questions from the press. He does not allow press inside of migrant child facilities, aka kids in cages. And he does not even allow virtual questions. That's how transparent they are.
Honestly, Elijah, though, you know, the people really did elect Joe Biden. And that's why, as, you know, living under democracy, you should never have to hear from the person leading you, because you should just automatically trust everything that they're doing, just like we're clearly seeing with Joe Biden here.
Yeah, and I'm with you on that. Mm-hmm. And that's why they say, you know, I want every child to know that this is what the vice presidents and generals in the United States Armed Forces look like, which is irrelevant, by the way. They're like, look, they look, is that a lesbian on the left? Maybe.
All I can see in this photo is the face masks.
Yeah, all I see is a bunch of losers who are photo-opping and are trying to virtue signal. But basically what they're saying is, don't question how we got here. Don't question what we're doing. Just know that there are women in office, and because there are women who hold positions of power, that gives us the right to bomb as many Syrian children as we want. And it's like, so what if you like to kill brown people just because they don't live within your borders? So what if you have the greatest humanitarian crisis on the border with over 116,000 children expected to arrive, and they're even holding them not only in cages, but in boxed prison facilities? They're also holding them in space centers from NASA. Talk about, you know, kids in rockets. Man, kids in cages is so 2017. We're putting kids in blasters. My bad.
You know, yeah, like the border crisis has gotten so extreme that we're putting kids in rockets.
Yeah.
But it's cool. Like, that's actually way cooler than like what Trump was doing. So really, like, yeah. Thank you, President Biden.
Yeah, at least we're
for making kids in cages cool.
Well, and this is the point, is that Kamala Harris, not, you know, she's just totally sucking up her way to the top. And I'm just saying that loosely, but she really did.
Yeah, that's not a common thing in her entire career at all.
Yes, and I know. And we're not supposed to question this. And that's what the point is. It's about the elites trying to create and satiate the culture by removing the white influence from society and replacing it with women and people of color and minorities and gays, which Barack Obama, of course, said Pete Buttigieg couldn't be president because he was a little too short and a little too gay. We're finding out that this is about taking power and control. And we know this because tech companies, you know, we always have, like, you always got to ask yourself the question, why is Microsoft putting out training classes on how we can get an understanding to see how we can take anti-racism courses? Like, how are the people that cannot even perfect an operating system trying to tell you how to operate your own social interactions? It's like, I can't even get my drivers to work without getting a blue screen of death, and I'm supposed to trust you on engineering society. It makes you question if the anti-racism movement is about ending racism at all, or if there's something much deeper, which there is. And in fact, we see it permeating in every area of our culture. I mean, check this. Like, they're teaching this in education. They're saying the anti-racist educator embraces discomfort, speaks up and disrupts, active, aware of and fights bias, fights for justice in taught and untaught curriculum, actively dismantles bias systems in school, and is part of the solution. What is that solution, though? The solution is dismantling the biased system of education, which means the Enlightenment principles, that there is objective truth. And what they want is a world where there is no truth, where emotions rule and lead, because when the people are not led by truth, they can be manipulated. And if you can be manipulated, then they can do what they want with our society and culture. And they're taking advantage of people of color, taking advantage of those that they believe, like gay people. Maybe they think they have low impulse control, or maybe they're coming after them because they think they feel like they've been pushed down. And they're taking advantage of how they feel weak or disenfranchised, and they're taking them and they're using them to push a system that is going to lead to the dismantling and the destruction of the country as we know it. And, you know, and that's what they always talk about, the fact that, you know, we got to just really get rid of this whiteness in our culture. And they talk about the violence of the white words and the microaggressions. And I want to remind you that the real issue that's going on here is actually not on the rise of white supremacy. The real issue is the rise of the attack on Asian people, on Middle Eastern people, specifically by people of color, particularly the black community in the United States. But also, I want to show you the white supremacy we deal with. This is an Uber driver who was attacked by women who they like to say the anti-maskers. The guy asked him to put on a mask, and he was attacked. And I want you to check out what kind of white supremacy we are seeing on our streets every single day to prove the point that an anti-racism movement is exactly what we need in order to protect people of color. Brace yourselves. Too many swastikas in this next video. Might want to close your eyes. If you can bring on the sound and put me on screen here. So basically what we're seeing here is a problem that we're seeing on screen where there is an actual systemic issue of, you know, gang violence or right now minority violence on minority violence, right? You have a lot of people of color attacking Asians and Middle Easterns and whatnot. And this is a real problem in our culture. But the society is not talking about the real issues of crime and violence and problems in our nation. Instead, we're focused on made up issues like the fact that whiteness is a threat to people of color, when in reality, the greatest threat to a young black man is another young black man. I don't like that, though. I hate that. I don't wish that society worked like that. And I don't say that from, you know, from some sort of like bourgeois type of white iconoclastic place or position in society. I mean that I'm hurting for the people that are hurting. And this man who was attacked, I hurt for him too. But to go around and say that the threat to this man, to people on the streets, what everyone should be worrying about is this racism that's out there from white people, that destroying and taking down the white dominance is going to solve the issue of humanity and the problems that we have, is just utter recklessness and foolishness. It's not living in reality. The threat in society is the threat of people who do not value truth, who have abandoned God, and are not holding up Western ideas in general. We have the degradation of our society, and I'm not going to believe when I see this every day, stuff like this happening all the time, that somehow we can blame all of this because of racism. No, it's about time people start taking responsibility for themselves and stop blaming things on people just because it's an easy cop-out. White people are not the problem. End of story. And you go, well, what is the problem? What are the real problems in society? I could tell you, if you could pull up my screen, Savannah, this is gross, but it's not violating YouTube's terms of service. There are these YouTubers on Twitter that make videos called a real versus a dildo challenge. And and also what's in my bum challenge. And whatever's going on down there, with, I'm not going to show that guy's face. So these are public videos on YouTube. These are apparently where somebody sticks their phallic, their actual genitals inside of a man's butt, and then also then followed by a dildo, and the person's supposed to guess what's inside their butt. Now, somebody brought up to YouTube publicly on Twitter, hey, Twitter, like, how come, like, for instance, Elijah's videos are considered borderline, they're throttled for talking about the reality of the world, but people can like literally anally penetrate people on YouTube and that's considered like okay content and not even age restricted. And YouTube was like, down here on the right, it's kind of hard to see, but they're like, thank you for bringing this to our attention. We're passing this report along right now. Also, can you flag this content? And then they went on to say, later on, I don't know if I can bring this up. They want to say, thanks for tagging us. We recommend reinstalling the YouTube app on your iPad and logging in. This usually fixes most issues. I don't know where I saw it, but they also said that it actually does not violate their policies and their terms of service. Because what they're too worried about is people microaggressing against gay people. That's something that's actually degenerate and gross, which is sticking things up your butt on a non-pornographic website, is considered normal. Meanwhile, that's considered normal, gay people sticking themselves up the butt, but then the society freaks out over here. Where is this? Society freaks out. They're going, activist Milo Yiannopoulos is now ex-gay, consecrating his life to St. Joseph. I saw so many articles that are like, what's going on here? A gay person sticking dildos up their butt and getting penetrated on YouTube? YouTube's like, absolutely normal. Keep talking about racism. Keep being divided against each other. Keep giving yourselves over to the flesh. That'll really satisfy you. And then they're like, oh, a gay person wanting to like turn their life around, the gay person wanting to follow God.
Yeah, that's homophobia. We're going to have to delete that immediately.
Can't have that.
No,
can't
have that. Absolutely not.
Can't have that. You know what it says this? It's quoted here, it says secular attempts at recovery from sin are either temporary or completely ineffective. Salvation can only be achieved through devotion to Christ and the works of the Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We might disagree on some theology there. I'm not a Catholic myself, but we can agree that he says here that my Leonopoulos, the gay man whose conservative messaging and willingness to speak the truth sparked riots on university campuses, may well trigger more outrage now that he describes himself as ex-gay and sodomy-free and is leading a daily consecration to St. Joseph online. You can read this article online. We're not going to get into it. But Savannah, what makes me upset here and the reason why I get mad is because as a culture, the anti-white racism movement, which is trying to divide and conquer Western society and remove the pillars of what we hope for, right? They always mask it as fighting whiteness, but really it's fighting truth. Mm-hmm. It's fighting Christianity. It's fighting straightness. Like BLM said, it's dismantling the family. It's dismantling American Western ideals, which are not inherently just white. And so what's really interesting is that in the midst of this, they're also pushing the opposite. They're promoting degeneracy. They're promoting alcoholism. They're promoting drug use. They're promoting these things. And then they're like, you know what? You know what really is shocking? It's not putting a dildo up your butt on kid-friendly content. It's deciding to consecrate your life to the Christian faith. Ooh, that's freaking crazy.
And you know, we were talking about this too, just off air, how I was telling you how last night, you know, I had spent a lot of hours researching politics and I just wanted to look up how to decorate my living room on Good Housekeeping, right? And so I'm reading about it and all of a sudden I'm seeing fat phobia being pushed into my face and how fat acceptance is such a great thing. And that's exactly what this reminds me of, how in every single part of society, all of the degradation, all of the worst parts of society are being pushed on us as a great thing. And then when Milo comes forward and says, okay, I want to dedicate my life to Christ or whatever he said here, you know, I'm sodomy free. It's a huge issue. And again, like I said, I made a joke that it's homophobia, but in reality, that's how this is going to be perceived.
Right. And I think like the real problems come from that, where it's like, you know, meanwhile, we're out here and we're talking about, well, then how do we correct this? How do we work on this? How do we change our society around? It's not just the liberals who are on this. Check out this video from Greg Abbott, the governor of my state of Texas, somehow falsely associated Gab.com, the free speech platform, which is amazing, by the way. You can follow me at Elijah Schaefer, has associated this with anti-Semitism, which is the exact message of the left. They want to think that everything is racism, everything is anti-Semitic. Savannah, come on the screen for a second. That's anti-Semitic. Everything is racist. Everything, you can breathe and you're anti-Semitic.
So true.
I'm so done with these narratives, guys. I know what real racism is and I know what true anti-racism is, but this narrative that things that are not racist are is something problematic. And I don't know exactly where it originated or where it's coming from, but it seems like Greg Abbott has fallen prey to the same disinformation. Listen how stupid he sounds when he tries to paint Gab as being some sort of an anti-Semitic platform, anti-Jewish, when it's not.
Anti-Semitic platforms like Gab have no place in Texas and certainly do not represent Texas values. What does
represent
Texas values is legislation like this by Representative King.
Just get it off the screen. Get the crap off the screen. Oh, thank you, sir, for locking us down for a month. Failed energy grids. Yeah, you're really a good guy. Oh, I took off your masks, mask mandates. They shouldn't have been there in the first place, you freaking fool. And you know that the Greg Abbott or people don't actually care, just like the, like they don't actually care about, you know, anti-Semitism or discrimination on religion, because it's always a double standard. Like if you look at this video, I think you just, do you have the F Christianity video?
Yes.
Like, can we just play a second of that for a second? Because there's this video, you could actually take the volume down and just put it on the screen. I'd prefer that because her voice is so annoying. So you have this black woman who is on YouTube with a video called F Christianity. And this is something I really want to talk about because of this double standard in society of where you cannot criticize black people, you cannot criticize gay people, you cannot criticize Jewish people. But if you want to criticize white people, if you want to criticize Christianity, if you want to criticize men, I would say even in general, then that's just okay. And so this anti-racism movement shrouds itself like, well, we really care about religious discrimination. Well, so do I. We really care about racism. Yes, so do I. And we really don't want people to be hated just because of their sex. Me too. But then you have a video like F Christianity on YouTube that's allowed to live, is not censored, and has no warnings on it as being offensive. Imagine if somebody, a white man, made a video called F Judaism. Or what if someone made a video like, I've seen the problems with white people on there, or even 10 things I hate about men. If you reversed any of those wordings with any other class, like Christianity or those things, and you put in, yeah, Jews or black people, you would be deleted. And that's what shows you the stupidness of the anti-racism, anti-discrimination movement, is that it's not about ending those things. It's simply selectively choosing your outrage and replacing the hatred towards groups that people in power want to destroy, the people that are the majority in this country and the values that have held our nation together. Because you might say, well, that's just white people. No, Christians are all races, creeds, and colors. Those are people who are united by Jesus Christ and the bonds of the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. And they are being attacked of all colors. And you can see, and I would say this, maybe some of you guys that aren't people of faith, fine. This is demonic, and it's an attack on the very foundations and principles that we stand on. I want to tell you something really amazing, though, guys. You know, when you're listening to this, when you're watching this, I'm sure you have to watch a lot of the stuff in private, and sometimes you might even be in a position where you're laying in bed late at night, you might be watching this stuff, which is why I want to tell you something amazing. If you got to look out these headphones called Raycon. Now, Raycon are small. They're smaller than the competitors. They're really amazing. They sound good. They have good vocal quality when you're speaking to the microphone. They also have good audio quality if you're an audiophile when you're listening. It's amazing, and they're not even that expensive. This is an incredible product that I want to tell you about. So when you're using Raycons and you're like, well, I don't want to spend a lot of money, but I want something that still has that high quality finish, that high quality color, well, I can tell you that this is the product for you. They are a comfortable in-ear fit for a most discreet look, even more discreet than AirPods or any of the other more expensive competitors. These actually just slide right in your ear. They're really great for working out, and they're built to perform anywhere and anytime with water and sweat resistant construction, and also a Bluetooth that pairs quickly and seamlessly. You basically just open them up, you pull them out, they start blinking, and boom, look at how small it is. It's really discreet. So if you don't like that look of the other types of headphones that are popping out of your ear, they look like you have a straw, or like a Q-tip in your ear, get something that actually just lightly goes in and gives you that same quality. And with enough battery life for 6 hours of playtime, you can unplug it for a while. It's pretty awesome. And guys, this is what's awesome. They're offering 15% off all of their products for you guys specifically. And here's what you got to do to get it. Go to buyraycon.com/offensive. That's all you have to do. Just go buyraycon.com/offensive to get 15% off your entire Raycon order. So feel free to grab a pair and a spare. That's 15% off at buyraycon.com/offensive. Please check it out. It's awesome. So as we get into this, here's what the anti-racism movement is about. It's about tearing down society so they can do what they want. In fact, it's so they can do things like this. We have an article from the New York Post that 5 jurors are seated at the trial right now for George Floyd. Now, as you know, we've had an emotional ride with the murder, or as they say, of George Floyd, which turns out may not have been a murder at all. And I only say that because as his autopsy got released, some insanity came out. Guys, we're reading this right now that 5 jurors have been impaneled for the upcoming murder trial of ex-Minneapolis cop Derek Chauvin in the death of George Floyd, as defense lawyers struggle to find impartial citizens to weigh in evidence in the high-profile case. Chauvin's lawyers have used 5 of their 15 allowed challenges to potential jurors through the first 2 days of the jury selection. Prosecutors have used 3 of 9. And so, guys, I'm telling you this right now, as we get into this, we're going to talk about the insanity of what looks like, what the world looks like when we're building our society based off of fighting racism versus trying to come to the conclusive truth based off of substantive evidence. Well, 5 jurors have already been picked on this, and this is really important. We have an interesting thing on the line. Officer Derek Chauvin from Minneapolis, if you're not familiar with this story, shame on you, because where were you for the last year? But George Floyd was killed. It set off riots around the country that we thought were organic, but we found out were planned, actually, by extreme activist groups. Now, what is important is that even Tucker Carlson brought up the point that Derek Chauvin is probably not going to receive a free trial or a fair trial. Because right now our culture does not work on a position of justice, but on this new term called racial justice, which does not seek to use truth to find an actual conclusion that satisfies the rule of law, but instead tries to come to a conclusion that satisfies people's emotions and feelings. A very dangerous precedent. for our nation. Indeed, a very dangerous precedent. Now, the reason why this is important to understand is that right now, as this guy, Derek Chauvin, this officer, is going on trial, they're trying to find jurors. Now, what you're finding is a lot of the jurors they're looking for have been dismissed. I'm going to go through some of them, and I'm going to explain why and how this relates to the anti-racism movement. Prospective juror number 29, this is from Jack Posobiec of OAN, was called up and is a lawyer. Quick update then, he was dismissed by prosecutors after she was seen as potentially favorable to Chauvin. Okay, what? That's weird. Then breaking, defense has struck down juror 30, who believes Blue Lives Matter is a racist cause. But of course, they didn't dismiss him for a cause, though, forced the defense to burn a challenge. Then we go down here and we go, oh, juror 36 notes that if George Floyd had complied with officers, this wouldn't have happened. Selected for the jury, 36 also stated that he had negative views of Chauvin. What's happened here is that the prosecutors in this are trying to build a jury that is not thinking about the fact that Chauvin could be innocent. And we know this because they are dismissing jurors who are afraid for their lives, people that are afraid specifically for their safety. Now, the only reason why you would be afraid for your safety in a trial as a juror is if you feel like the conclusion that the final judgment could go against popular opinion. Now, everybody wants Chauvin to rot in jail because he's a mass murderer. We've decided based off of a selective video that we've seen. That's the point of the society. They want to control society based off of social media and TV, and they want to manipulate us so that they can do what they want and keep us distracted and not allow us to actually have and live in the free country our founding fathers desired us to have. And that's important because I don't know who needs to hear this, but listen to this tweet. This is here. Juror 37, did you view the property damage of the riots negatively? I feel that if that's what's needed to happen for the world to know about it, that's what's needed to happen. I'm going to get to this. But every potential juror called in the George Floyd case testified they were terrified of being doxxed and their families threatened if they served on the jury. It means that Chauvin might be innocent, but the trial is pushed and potentially made just to satiate the American people. And that's what's scary. Do you know that in the election, the Supreme Court wouldn't hear the issues of the Supreme Court either because of the election irregularities, simply because they didn't want more riots to occur, and that certain groups blackmailed the U.S. government and said that if they overturned the election in favor of Trump, that there would have been mass sustained uprisings and riots like we had never seen? That's a true story. Check it out in Time Magazine. They admitted to it. They held our justice system hostage. And in fact, they're even holding the city of Minneapolis hostage in attempts to go against racism right now. The shooting near George Floyd autonomous zone in Minneapolis on the eve of the Chauvin trial, guys, there is an autonomous zone that has been set up. And what they're doing is they're saying, well, in the name of fighting racism, we can violate laws. We can violate order. We don't even have to respect the limits and private property because we're just trying to fight racism. And so the anti-racism movement has justified a new anti-human rights, anti-Western civilization, anti-white, anti-Christian movement that thinks that they can do no wrong and has enabled domestic terrorists to gain hold in our country simply because under the name of fighting racism. Even one reporter who tried to report there quickly found out that his rights, the right to freedom of speech, even free press, do not stand in the way of people who want to violate those as long as they're doing it in the name of fighting racism. Watch as he's prevented and impeded from trying to film outside the autonomous zone, even for no other reason than just to report on the fact that it exists.
This area behind me is the George Floyd Memorial. This is where George Floyd was killed back in May. Take a look. These barricades have been set up by protesters.
So here they come. There's two black bloc people. We're always familiar with these people who often tend to be, degenerates.
Oh, I thought if we were on this side of the barricade.
You're going to be in a bad situation in a second.
You're going to be in a bad situation in a second. I like how this is just normal in America now, and we just comply with it.
It's very tense near the memorial, and a militant-style group has closed off several blocks with barricades. What's the situation at the memorial?
The situation at the memorial is, from what I understand, is kind of volatile. People that want to go and support doesn't feel a sense of inclusion. There is more of a like militant type atmosphere over there and a sense of fear.
Kim Griffin supports police reform and was outside the courthouse protesting Floyd's death.
Okay, turn it down. So basically what it is we've become and finding, well, hey, we're allowing military style groups, militants, to take over our streets because they are mad about racism. Not in fact that this is actually proven or that we even know of Chauvin. We haven't even had a trial to find out if Chauvin did anything he did based off of racist intentions. And we still don't know if George Floyd actually died from having the knee on his neck. But what is true is that in the name of racism, if you look at this, we're allowed to set up autonomous zones. We're also allowed here. Do you know that in Minneapolis, crime stats show 250% increases in gunshot victims just this year alone? Meaning they know that fighting racism and using this as a ploy is a strong enough emotional ploy to people that they don't question it. And in the meantime, it allows society to completely fall apart and be unraveled as they destroy us from the inside and allow our cities to rot. And somehow, if you question this, then you're a racist and you are not an anti-racist, which is why I'd like to say proudly, I am not an anti-racist, because anti-racism literally means that you believe that there is any excuse you can use to destroy this country as long as you claim to be fighting racism, even if you're causing 1,000 other problems in the meantime. And what we found out here is that when you look at the George Floyd autopsy, it's kind of hard to see. Let me see if I can zoom in. Okay, I can't really zoom in, I guess. Remember in his autopsy that George Floyd was found to have no life-threatening injuries identified, physical injuries. He also had lethal amounts of fentanyl, norfentanyl, and methamphetamine, as well as morphine in his urine. Down here, I don't know if you remember that, but that's the truth. Okay, he had this in his blood. But you're not supposed to question that. You can't talk about the truth. You can't ask yourself the question of, did George Floyd really get murdered? Or perhaps maybe he wasn't the knee on his neck that caused him to say, I can't breathe. Maybe perhaps he was saying that earlier. Sav seems to remember some content here that happened earlier before the knee was on the neck.
Yes, Lige. So the article that you pulled up here, this was one that came out from the Daily Mail, probably at the end of summer during the George Floyd riots. And I wanted to bring it up because so many people saw the initial video of, Derek Chauvin kneeling on George Floyd. But they didn't see the video that happened before that of George Floyd saying, please put me on the ground. I want to lie on the ground. I want to lie on the ground. I actually watched this entire video. And again, I'll even put the link below because I think this video is so important for people to watch, because at 8:07 in this video, George Floyd himself says, I want to lay on the ground. At 7:17, he said, I'll get on the ground. Anything, just don't put me in the back of this police car. And then he also talks about, too, in the back of the police car, before anyone is even touching him, I can't breathe. I can't breathe. So he was saying these things well before he was ever on the ground. He asked to lie on the ground. But again, this is going to be Rodney King part two, because the public's perception of this entire case is already settled. And we never saw this second piece of body cam footage.
Right. And I think that that's where we get into this idea of like, well, what is the anti-racism movement about? The anti-racism movement is about being able to manipulate and control people outside of the justice system, outside of the economic system, outside of the political system. It's being used to get a man who's literally dying, who did not, I would say this, we don't know, but it appears to be he is the most popular president in U.S. history while never leaving his basement, is that as long as he's got women in office, and as long as Chauvin is put in jail, we don't care about the truth. Don't read the autopsy. Don't question anything, because white man bad, Christian bad. And you know what? So what if people are sticking things up their butt on YouTube? What you should really care about is, oh my gosh, there's a gay man who doesn't want to be gay anymore. Oh my gosh, look at this. There's a teacher who just wants to teach math and doesn't want to talk about systemic racism. The absolute madness in our country has come to an extreme position and point that has gotten to a position and point that I believe is not only damaging and damning, but can disrupt our nation as a whole. And as I told you guys last week, that if you left us a message at the start mail email address in our last ad, we would send you free merch if you made an account and emailed us, and some of you guys did. And so I just wanted to do a raffle as we close up here. So the winner for the free merch, by the way, is Liana Rodriguez. Liana Rodriguez, give me some confetti. Liana Rodriguez, congratulations. You get confetti of color, and you also get free merch. We'll email you and we'll send you your sizes. On that, guys, we're going to continue back next week with some more panels and more information. Please check out, if you make it this far in the podcast, that means you're a regular listener. And so please go ahead and listen to the podcast, download it, go to Apple Podcasts, go to Spotify, leave us a 5-star review. It's the best way to tell advertisers and people that you support us, because guys, we are demonetized everywhere and this is the way we keep the show going. You can also support us at blazetv.com/Elijah for a subscription, and this helps us to continue to keep all of our content even when it gets taken down or there's something too controversial for YouTube. It is always there and it tells Blaze that you love the show and you want more of the show. Go to blazetv.com/Elijah, support us there today. Anyways, guys, we're going to get into more of this stuff next week. We've tried to have Gavin McGinnis on, but we had technical issues, so we're rescheduling for next month. And, you know, we're doing our best to get guests on whenever and however and continue to provide the content that's best possible. My name is Elijah Schaefer, the host of Slightly Offensive, the best worst show on Blaze TV. We have the best graphics, and also we thank you guys for leaving us those reviews. May God bless the United States of America. I'm signing out.